You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy towards the end there, chapter 6, and then locate verses 16 and 17. If you didn't bring a Bible, I'd encourage you to grab one from the chair in front of you because this is the passage we really want you to focus on today. Everything we're saying is going to be touching in some way this passage of Scripture. And so if you are ready to read that or read along with that, then you can see it for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 17 through 19. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to his young apprentice Timothy to help him in his leadership of the church. He's giving him some instructions about what he is to do, and he touches in this last chapter on a very important issue that deals with the whole topic of generosity. And so let's go ahead and see the instruction that Paul had to give to Timothy that day. Here's what he said. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of that life that is truly life. Let's pray. Father, would ask today that you would, through your grace, allow each one of us here today to be able to hear what it is that you would have to say to us. Father, do that in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we started a new series called The Gist of Generosity. And isn't it fun and exciting to talk about generosity? And I think some people say, well, yes, if you're talking about being on the receiving end of generosity, that's great. I'm not so sure about having to be on the giving end. Well, you need to know that this series has already presented quite a challenge to me personally. Because while I would like to think that I'm generous, what I'm discovering is that I still have a long way to go, a long way to go in the area of generosity. Now, you realize, of course, that generosity has little to do with the amount or how much one has. Generosity is not a financial issue. And here's how we can prove that. I bet that you've met some generous people in your life, and some of them probably had almost nothing. Some maybe had a little, some were probably in the middle somewhere, and some had a lot. And I bet you've also met some people who weren't so generous. And some of them had a lot, and some of them were in the middle, and some had very little. And that's why we know that generosity is not about resources. Do you know who's generous? Generous people are generous. That's who's generous. Isn't that amazing? That's who's generous. But what we also know is true is that the wealthy and the rich are the ones who have the most difficulty at times becoming generous. And the reason we know that is the wealthy, who obviously have more to give, actually proportionately give a lot less than those with fewer resources. Now, there may be any number of reasons behind that, but I tend to believe that it's because it feels a little like they have more to lose, because they've often put more trust in their wealth than they should. Now, at this point, some of you, I know you're thinking to yourselves, phew, I guess I don't have to worry about that because I'm not wealthy. I mean, I'm barely making ends meet. So you can go ahead and talk to the wealthy people that, hey, Brian, that doesn't really apply to me. Except when we discover that the median average income in the world today is about $1,225 per year. Now, any of you make more than that in a year? Any of you above that level? Just a tad. In fact, most people in the United States are in the top 10% of the world's population when it comes even just to yearly income. And that means that comparatively speaking, we are truly wealthy, whether it feels like it or not. Now, last week we got started, we looked at a very wealthy man who lived back in Jesus' day, who helped us discover what really the true cause of generosity is. We met that wee little man named Zacchaeus, whose world was rocked when he met Christ. And because of the love and the grace that he received from Jesus, he was transformed from being greedy and self-serving to possessing and then even expressing over-the-top generosity. It was an amazing transformation. Grace changed his heart, which changed his relationship to everything he had, including his money. His wealth no longer was his source of identity and security. And that reminds us that if we're ever truly going to become generous, we're going to have to exchange the identity and security that we've been getting from our money, from our finances and our possessions, and replace it with the identity and security that we receive from God through his grace. Remember, in Christ, we have a new identity and security, and our identity and security is this: I'm a child of God, unconditionally loved by him. That's identity and security. A child of God, unconditionally loved by him. So as we talk about generosity, what are we talking about? Well, remember from last week, here's our working definition of generosity. Generosity equals a willingness to share one's provisions liberally. And remember those key words. The key words are willingness. That means it's not coerced. You're doing it on your own. It's our provisions. And so that generosity comes out of things that we would maybe use to live on ourselves. And then it's liberally. And when we looked last week at the example of Zacchaeus, wow, did he hit all of those? Remember, he stood up and said to Jesus, right now, on the spot, half of my possessions I'm giving away to the poor. Now, in light of what we just looked at with Zacchaeus, I'd like you to do just a little self-assessment, if you would, this morning. And what I'd like you to do is to think about, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being Ebenezer Scrooge, all of us are pretty familiar with him, and let's say today 10 being Zacchaeus, where would you rate yourself when it comes to generosity? I want you to think about that. Pick a number between 1 and 10. Where would you rate yourself when it comes to generosity? Now, just for clarity, because it's helpful when we have some other input, I'd like for you, if you're with someone today, would you turn to the person next to you right now and ask them where they would put you on that scale? So, you really don't have to do that. It may be a long, quiet ride home in the car, if you do. But what I want you to think about today is, if you would say, I found myself at a 2, you say, well, I've got a long way to go. Don't think that way. I would like you to think this morning, well, what could I do to move to a 3 or 4 if I'm a 2? Or if you would say, hey, I think I'm about a 4. What could you do today to move to a 6 or to a 7? Or if you find yourself at a 6, you could ask yourself, what could I do today to move to a 7 or to an 8? Now, I know probably, again, there's still some skeptical people sitting out there, and you're thinking to yourself, why on earth would I want to become a generous person? Why? And let me just share with you, I can think of some reasons why not only on earth that you would want to become a generous person, but I can also think of some reasons why, for heaven's sake, you would want to be generous. See, generosity is better for you than you might have ever imagined. It is a good thing. You know, the reason I know that is I'll say this. I'll bet you've never really met an unhappy, generous person. You probably never met an unhappy, generous person, because when we're generous, one of the byproducts of that is this joy, this happiness that we're going to talk about. And could it be that what Jesus said is really true? Remember in Acts chapter 20, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What Jesus was saying is that it's better to be generous than it is to be the beneficiary of generosity. And that's because Jesus understood the power of generosity in a person's life. And that's what we want to look at today, the power of generosity. Because the practice of generosity is powerful. In fact, generosity enables you to do really more than you ever even imagined, exceeding your current abilities. I can give you an example of it. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing a letter to the Christians in Corinth, the letter's called 1 and 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul mentions a group of believers in Macedonia. And listen to what he says about them. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Now, that's just a weird combination, isn't it? Severe trial, overflowing joy, extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. And then he says, for I can testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. That was the power of generosity. It allowed them to give even beyond their ability. So what kind of power can generosity have in our lives? We're going to look at four things, and I think all of them included in that passage we read in 1 Timothy a little bit ago. So what's the first power of generosity that we need to be aware of? Well, first of all, generosity is the antidote to greed. Generosity is the antidote to greed. Now, if you think about it, greed is finding your satisfaction in what you possess, and so you just want to have more and more and more and more. Now, grace, on the other hand, is finding satisfaction in who possesses you. In other words, you say, hey, God loves, remember, I'm a child of God, unconditionally loved by Him. And anytime you are generous, you keep greed from gaining a foothold in your life. See, rich people, and Paul talked about that as he wrote to Timothy, they tend to put their hope in wealth, which Paul reminded them, and we really don't need to be reminded of that. That's so uncertain. But when we are generous, what it does is it reminds us that we need to put our hope in God, which is he's no cosmic killjoy who wants us to be miserable. Paul told Timothy that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God's wanting the best for us as well. But here's the challenge that we face. It's easier to be greedy than it is to be generous. I know from experience. I bet you do too. And I don't imagine that any of us here would like to think of ourselves as greedy people. But here's the problem. I love what Tim Keller says. He says, greed hides in people's blind spots. The problem is that, generally speaking, when you are greedy, you don't know that you're greedy. That's the problem. Greed is a lot like pride, isn't it? The one person who doesn't realize how proud they are is who? The person that's really proud. Everybody else can see it, but it's in their blind spot. And I think it's interesting that over the years as a pastor, I've had a lot of people come to me and confess many different sins. But would you believe I have never had someone come to me and confess, Brian, I am so greedy. The problem I have is spending way too much on myself. I've never had anyone come and confess that. Were you aware that Jesus warned against greed more than any other single sin? I mean, if you were to list them all out, greed was at the top of his list. And any issue that Jesus gave a lot of attention to is usually because it was a major problem for a majority of people. That's probably why in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, then he said to them, that was Jesus, watch out. Now, anytime the Bible says watch out, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to watch out. Yeah, we're supposed to be on our guard. He says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. See, Jesus emphasized this a lot because he knew that this was the chief competitor for our heart. It's our money and our possessions. So you know what I know now? I got to be aware. Greed is a danger for me, and it's probably a danger for you. And what being generous does is it keeps our possessions from possessing us because we learn to let go of them. And anything we hold loosely is going to help keep greed at bay. So the first power of generosity is that it's the antidote for greed. Another power of generosity is that generosity multiplies my resources. Generosity multiplies my resources. There's a lot of things that are said favorably about generosity in the Bible. One of those is in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And notice it says, a generous person will prosper. And that seems weird because when you're giving stuff away, you're not necessarily going to prosper. And then it says, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, I don't know how he's done it, but God has worked it out in the universe in such a way that when I give, for example, when I give 10% of my income to him, it's called tithing. I don't know how he does it, but he is able to make 90% with his blessing go farther than 100% on my own. I don't know how that happens because you can do the math and it doesn't add up. Generosity multiplies my resources. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, give and it'll actually be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So generosity multiplies my resources. The third power of generosity in our lives is that generosity enables me to send ahead what I can't take with me. It enables me to send ahead what I can't take with me. I want you to think about the money that you have in the bank and that you have in savings right now, and just do a little bit of math. Does anyone here have any idea how much money you're going to leave behind when you die? Trick question. How much? All of it. You don't get to take any of it with you. No matter how much money you have, when you die, you leave it all behind. But amazingly, what the Bible reveals is that you can actually send it on ahead by what you give away. See, generosity matters beyond this world. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 6. He says, command them to be generous and willing to share, and in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So generosity allows me to send ahead what I can't take with me. Now, if you talk to financial planners today, they'll give you words of wisdom like this. They'll say, when it comes to your money, don't think just 3 months ahead or 3 years ahead. Think farther down the road. Think 30 years ahead. But you know, Christ, who was the ultimate investment counselor, he took it even further than that. He would say to you, hey, don't just think about how your investment is going to be paying off in 30 years. You need to be thinking about how it's going to be paying off in 30,000 years or in 3 million years. So generosity enables me to send ahead what I can't take with me. There's a fourth power of generosity in our lives, and that is generosity creates God moments. Generosity creates God moments. Now, what is a God moment? A God moment is one of those times when God shows up and demonstrates that he's active and involved in the world through special connections that he makes that reveal his provision. Let me give you an example of one. A number of years ago, and I'll always remember this, I was serving at a church on the south side of Colorado Springs. We were not doing well financially, and we were having a staff meeting. We were talking about, wow, I don't know how we're going to pay bills this week. It's going to be rough. We ought to pray about this. And so we were actually having a little prayer time together, praying over what was happening. And at the same time that we were praying, and we didn't find out till afterwards, someone was actually walking into the church office that day and saying, you know what, I really just felt led that I need to give a little extra. And they handed the lady at the desk there a check for $1,000. Now, I know you're going to be surprised, but we made a connection there. We were praying, and God showed up in an amazing, amazing way. And God, when we're generous, does some amazing things. So, for example, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. Why? Because their people are going to say, that was amazing what God did. See, our generosity is one of the ways that God shows himself to the world. I really look forward to next week's message because I get to share with you some of the amazing things that God has done through the generosity of this church family. You're going to be amazed. But today, I want to introduce something to you called the concept of the God pocket. The God pocket. Now, we should always plan our giving. We ought to have some giving that we plan. That's biblical. The Bible supports that. But what if we were to make some of our funds available that allowed God to direct our generosity as he presented needs? See, the God pocket is designating a portion of money that you will allow God to prompt you to give. Bruce Wilkinson shares an example of what God is capable of orchestrating in the area of this God pocket. The story starts at a corner, or the counter, at the counter of a pharmacy in South Carolina at 2 in the afternoon. A young husband was there to pick up a prescription for his wife. The cashier gave him back his change and then handed him the prescription. As he turned to go, he immediately stopped in his tracks, because he looked at the change that he had received to be certain of what he thought he saw, and sure enough, the cashier had handed him incorrect change. It was too much, way too much. Have any of you ever found yourself in that situation? Probably most of us have. Now, all of this happened in seconds, but here's the thing. The young husband was out of work. He'd been laid off like many others had been when the economy kind of fell apart, and it had been long enough now that he and his wife were beginning to feel just a little bit desperate. And then he thinks, wow, what a lucky break. Finally, this is really going to help. Groceries, a little bit of breathing room, maybe something for my wife. She sacrificed so much. But then his heart kind of sank, because he knew what was the right thing to do. And so he said, I think you gave me the wrong change. And sure enough, he had. And gratefully, but quickly, she took it back from him. And by the time he walked out of the pharmacy, his heart was kind of down in his shoes. He had done what was right, but he still felt just a little bit lost. Well, out in the parking lot, he climbed into his old red pickup truck, and he handed the prescription to his wife, saying nothing about the little drama at the cash register. He just didn't have the heart to tell her. Well, at that same time, across town, a woman named Darlene was driving to a Kentucky Fried Chicken. She was on an emergency mission to obtain, no kidding, a bag of hot sauce packets. Not chicken, not mashed potatoes, but KFC hot sauce. And that's because she and her husband were about to leave on a trip to South Africa, where their son was currently living. And when she had talked to him on the phone and asked him, what would you like us, son, to bring to you? His immediate request was KFC hot sauce. Well, at KFC, she walked up to the counter and she made her very unusual request. I'd like a bag of, you know, hot sauce packets. Seemed to kind of surprise the lady at the register. Apparently, not too many people show up looking for a whole bag of hot sauce packets. Well, while the manager went back to retrieve the hot sauce, the two at the counter began to have a conversation, and this gal at the register kind of shared that she was struggling financially, as she was getting pretty discouraged. And that's when Darlene reached into her purse and she pulled out a bill from her God pocket. And as she folded the bill, she took the hand of the lady at the cash register and she placed the bill in her hand. And here's what she said. This is just something to remind you that God knows your situation and wants you to be encouraged today. This is just something to remind you that God knows your situation and wants you to be encouraged today. Well, almost immediately, the gal's eyes filled with tears. She said, you have no idea. But before she could continue, a 20-something customer entered the store and stepped up to the counter and asked for a glass of water. What was the cost? Now, much to her surprise, the answer was that it wasn't free. It actually was 37 cents, apparently the cost of the cup. Well, the customer began to rummage through her purse, and finally located a quarter, and placed it on the counter and attempted to clarify. She said, you know, I have some medicine I need to take. Well, once again, Darlene saw God at work and asked the young woman to let her pay for the water, and she did. The woman gave her a quiet thank you, took the water and her quarter, and quickly left. Well, just a minute later, when Darlene was walking out carrying the bag of African-bound hot sauce packets, she was trying to make sense of her recent encounters. And as she began to think about it, she kind of regretted that she hadn't responded quicker to help the young woman with the other money that she had still in her God pocket. Well, she'd already gotten in her car when she noticed that she was parked next to an old red pickup truck. And seated on the passenger side was the young woman. In her hand, she held a cup of water. And Darlene recognized that she'd been given another opportunity. And with the bills in her hand from her God pocket, Darlene gently knocked on the window of the pickup truck. And when the young woman rolled down the window, Darlene asked if she could do her a favor. She said, "I've been carrying around some of God's money, and I believe he would like me to give it to you." And then she handed her the money. Well, you might imagine the young woman's surprise. She kind of caught her breath as she lifted her hand to cover her mouth. She couldn't begin to explain what was happening, but you are beginning to understand what was happening. About that time, Darlene looked across the vehicle to the young man behind the steering wheel. He was staring at the money that his wife held in her hand as tears started to roll down his cheeks. He said, "You're not going to believe this," but he proceeded to tell Darlene their story. He said, "I lost my job, but times have been tough. And just a few blocks away, I went into the store to get my wife's medicine. The cashier gave me back too much money by mistake. At first, it seemed like a huge provision, but in spite of it, I decided it didn't belong to me, so I returned it." And then the husband leaned over to his wife and could barely get the words out of his mouth. He said, "Look at this. God used someone that we didn't even know to bless us with more than I gave back." Now, at that moment, do you think Darlene understood that day how it was more blessed to give than to receive? See, here's what I know. If I'd be honest, there's been far too many times when I've been on the receiving end more than the giving end, and I want to turn that around. And see, generosity is what allows God to use sometimes your windfall to help compensate for others' shortfall. And when he does, he gets honored, but you get blessed. And so if you want the power of generosity to be released in your life, I just want to remind you today, you're going to have to actually do something about it. And so if you'll notice at the bottom of your notes, I have today's takeaway. And I've included 8 things, but I just want you to pick one. It says identify just one step to take to release the power of generosity in your life. And here would be my suggestions, a step that you could take. Number one, begin to tithe. Some of you, that's where you need to start. You need to begin to start. And really, tithing is ground level giving. It's the place where we're supposed to start. Now, why do you think the tithe? Well, I think God had the tithe because it's enough to get our attention, but it's not enough to ruin us. It just reminds us of how important God is in our lives. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're concerned about, wow, how it could ruin me if I tithe, I'll just say, I'll make a commitment to you. If you'll commit to tithe for 3 months for the next 90 days, and at the end of those 90 days, your finances are in worse condition than they are right now, we will cheerfully refund your giving if you would like, if you need a little extra to do that. So that would be a place for some of you to start. For some, you might want to practice having a God pocket. Think about that. Think about what God could do through a group of people like us committed to do that kind of generosity as a way to touch people's lives so that they experience God's presence and his provision. What an amazing thing. A third step you could take would be maybe to sponsor a child. Next week, I want you to pray about this because next week you're going to have an opportunity to sponsor children that we support in Bangladesh and in Ecuador. And if you've never done that before, I'd encourage you. That's a great step to take. Another step to take would be number 4, just pay a bill for someone who could use the help. You might say, well, I don't know anybody who needs some help. Well, just pray about it and then let God really kind of locate that person for you and then look for opportunities that he provides. Number five, some of you are already tithing, and for you, another step would be to give beyond the tithe. Because, you know, the tithe really is the floor, not the ceiling. It's where we're supposed to start, not where we're supposed to stop. Another idea would be maybe to give to or serve a ministry for people in need. And if you're looking for a way to get involved, next Saturday, this coming Saturday, we've got Be the Church Every Day. And part of the purpose of Be the Church Every Day is just to go out and generously serve our community. And there's a table out there in the foyer you can sign up for this coming Saturday. Number seven, maybe go to a senior citizen's home and visit. They've done studies and 85% of people in nursing homes never have anybody visit. And so there's a ministry here at Academy Christian Church called Crossroads Ministry that we participate in. And it's just giving of your time and self. And so just yesterday, usually the second Saturday of every month, we've got a picture here of a group of folks from ACC who went to Cedarwood Care Center and just loved on people. That'd be an opportunity for you. One final one that this one's kind of, I think, the most fun. Pay for the car behind you at the drive-thru. When you go through, say, how much is my bill? And this car behind me, I'd like to pay the bill for my friends. And then kind of watch as they look, you know, after you drive away. It's an amazing thing. But there are some examples. What step will you take today to become more generous? Because I guarantee you, it won't just happen. You'll have to plan for it and then decide to take action to be generous. And I just want to guarantee you today that when you get to the end of your life, you're not going to wish that you'd been less generous and more greedy. Oh, I wish I'd been more greedy. You're not going to get to your deathbed and say, oh, if only we'd finished the basement, if only we'd built that bigger house, if only I'd bought the Ferrari. I wish I hadn't been so generous. I regret that we gave away so much. See, when generous people get to the end of their life, they've been blessed beyond imagination. Because we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by being generous. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you today for the challenge that you've brought to my attention about the need to grow in this area of generosity. And Father, I thank you for the amazing power that generosity can have in our lives. And today, I pray that you'd help us to trust you and what you say about life more than we trust what the world says about life and what our priorities should be. Father, I thank you for every person in this room, a person that you have been more generous to than we can even begin to imagine. Thank you for your grace that you lavished on us, that you gave abundantly to us. And I once again want to pray that that grace would be able to transform our hearts so that we can be generous and reflect your love and your grace to this world. Help us to do that, Father, as we trust and we obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.